As they make their way out, let's turn in your pew Bible this morning to the prodigal son's name of the chapter of scripture we're going to read. But we're going to read Luke 15. It's 1 through 32. It's the entire chapter. There are two other parables before it that feed into this parable of the prodigal son. And this is a lesson of who the Father is, the Father in heaven. And Jesus tells us through story and gives us three different examples of what this is like. And so take note of the first few things. First few parables are about a great loss. That's the story that Jesus wants us to understand. And then we lead into the prodigal son and what happens with that story. Now, it might be familiar to you. It's an old Sunday school story that we've all learned at one point. But I hope to bring more depth here to you this morning to challenge you as well in this parable. It is a parable of encouragement as well. And I want you to feel that today about how much God loves you and how much grace that he has for you and I in the world that we live in today. So let's read together Luke 15. The first parable is the parable of the lost sheep, and then it's the parable of the lost coin, and then it's the parable of the lost son. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear him, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. "Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. Then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep.' I tell you that in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need repentance." And then the parable of the lost coin. "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Does she not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, 'Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin.' In the same way, I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And now the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate,' or inheritance would be another good word to put into there. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' And the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeying your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, You kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Amen. The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, may you speak to us through your word today. May your spirit bring those words to life, and may you give us understanding as these words leave my mouth. May they be your words. But for those that have gathered here today to hear this message, Lord, may you open their hearts, minds, and souls to receive your teaching. In Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. Have you ever lost something valuable in your life? Anybody lost anything valuable? Just one person. Wow, you guys are really lucky. Well, I lost something a few years ago. We went to the state championship basketball game. It was West Lyon. I don't remember who they played in Des Moines. And we were at the Wells Fargo Dome. I believe it was on a Friday night. And I don't like to sit on my wallet. And so I took it out and I put it in a cup holder in front of me in the seat. And I thought, I'll easily remember that when I get up to go home. Well, guess what? I forgot it. And I drove all the way home that night, got home, got up Saturday morning, and I thought, well, I'm going to go put gas in our vehicle, and where's my wallet? And I, oh my gosh. I left it in the cup holder at the Wells Fargo Dome in Des Moines. And in there was some cash, which isn't a big deal, but my credit card was in there, my license was in there, and my debit card was in there. Now I'm getting worried. I call down there to the headquarters, and I get this lady, by the way, is a preacher's daughter. Praise God for that. So I asked her, said, had anybody turned in a wallet? She says, no, haven't seen anything. And my heart just sank, because I know there was a basketball game after us that night, and there was one already that happened that morning before I discovered that my billfold was gone. And I thought, somebody has it. Now what am I going to do? Hang on to that story. So what happens when you lose something valuable? What is your desire when you've lost something valuable? You want it back, right? And you'll do anything to try to get that back, what you've lost. You'll involve other people. You'll think back to maybe where you lost it, and you'll try to go through your mind. There's different things. You'll try to play out the different scenarios. You'll ask other people, have you seen this, or do you see what happened? And those types of things go on in our life. You search. You look all over. In the first two parables in Luke 15 that we read, Jesus emphasizes the loss sustained by the owner. They're anxious. They're rigorous. They search for what they've lost. And when they find it, there is rejoicing. There's joy. They want to celebrate. They're relieved, is what that means to us. And in the last parable, Jesus teaches the same lesson about the joy of a father and the return of a rebellious son. That's where we're going this morning. And so in this lesson, there are four different lessons that I want to bring out to you this morning, that I want to look at key points throughout these different parables. And they all reflect back to our life. And here's the first one. The value of the lost object. In these three parables, something has been lost. It's the sheep, the coin, the son. Now Jesus describes, and what this really is, it's a story of Jesus describing the separation of you and I, our souls, apart from God in our lives. Meaning that if you don't have salvation, if you are distant from God in your life and you're worried that you do not have eternal salvation with your soul in heaven, this is what Jesus is describing with this loss. This coin. This son. This sheep. That's the big picture. And so Jesus wants us to understand that there's something valuable here that's at stake. Something's been lost. That's what he's trying to describe to the Pharisees. That's what he's telling us this morning in this message. And in each case, you also need to understand that the lost object remained valuable despite its condition or the amount. Something's been lost. Just like you and I, when we lose something that has value, we try to get it back. You look for it. You search for it. You want to have it back. You need to understand that God has lost something valuable with you and I because of the sin that's in this world. We're all sinners. Some of us, maybe most of us, have made our way back, but not everybody. Maybe some within the pews still don't have it figured out or still don't have the salvation that they're looking for. And maybe there's a lot of people outside these walls that also don't have that salvation that are still lost in the eyes of God. God has lost something valuable, His children. And so here's something that we often get wrong with this parable. You're familiar with this parable, like I told you. You learned it in Sunday school about the prodigal son and so on. See, we are concerned about the sheep. We are concerned about the lost coin. We are concerned about the son who's rebellious and leaves and goes on his way. But Jesus begins this parable with the concern of the loss sustained by the father, by the owner. The owner of the sheep, the widow who had the coin that was lost, the son who was rebellious and left. So if you read these parables carefully, there is a direct correlation to the loss that God receives or inherits from the sinful world that we live in the loss of his children, which is you and I. That's what he wants us to understand. And so what this means is that God the Father is greatly concerned with his people who are lost because they are so, so valuable to him. I don't know if we fully understand that. How valuable you are. If you're lost, or maybe you're far apart from God, this is the first application you need to hear this morning. You are valuable to God, even in your lost condition. No matter what that is, you are so valuable to God. You may consider yourself to be worthless in your own sight. Look what I've done with my life. It's not what I thought it was going to be. It's not going where I want it to go. I've made mistakes. I've done the wrong things. I've said the wrong things. I've broken relationships. The list goes on and on and on for you and I. You may consider yourself worthless in your own sight because you can only see what you've made of yourself. Now, here's the difference you need to understand this morning. But what this is teaching us is that you are valuable to God because He is able to see what you were created to be. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-seeing. He knows what you were created to be before this world got messy with sin from Adam and Eve. And also, He can also see, when you come back to the Lord, what He can yet make of you. There's great potential for everyone. And that's what He looks at. Your worth and value come from God. Often, you will not allow yourself to be judged that way because you fall back into the ways of the world. You let the world judge you about how many possessions you have, how wealthy you are, how what kind of house you live in, da-da-da-da. Your status in the world. See, you let those things judge you, but God says, none of that matters. You have value in my eyes because you're my child. That's your first lesson. Here's the second one this morning. The attitude of the owner or the father. Let's look at that for a moment so you have a better understanding. God has sought us out and still seeking to bring the lost back to him. In this world, you know, often people wonder, why doesn't Jesus come back now? But think about how patient of a God we have. He wants more people to be saved. He wants more people to be found and to come back to him. So he's patient in allowing that to happen. God is still seeking people out. See, the Pharisees, when Jesus is eating with sinners in this story, the Pharisees are like, what is he doing? He can't eat with sinners. That's wrong. You can't associate with ungodly people. It's not how we're supposed to live. The Pharisees, they had that rule that godly people should never interact or associate with ungodly people. But Jesus lays out something totally different in this story, in this parable this morning, to them, to us. Jesus speaks about how the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is at work in the lives of sinners, bringing people to salvation. The Father planned the restoration. Jesus achieved his work on the cross. And the Holy Spirit moves you and I to faith through the work within our heart and minds. You need to realize that that should bring us hope today. God is at work in the lost souls of this world. How many of you know people that you think, well, there's just no hope? They're too far gone in their journey of life. There's no way that they're ever going to reach salvation. They've done too many things wrong. Don't believe that. God can do amazing things through the work of his Holy Spirit, and especially your prayers. Remember that this morning. Each and every one of you that has accepted Jesus Christ, that's sitting in this sanctuary this morning, you've been found by God. Not of your own work, but of the work of God the Father. If you look over these parables, you'll see a picture of God grieving for you. He wants you back because he loves you. He's lost something valuable. He'll seek you out. Notice the song Reckless Love, that he'll do anything to get to you in your life where you're at when he puts his Holy Spirit to work inside of you. And he'll bring you back. That's the attitude of God towards you in your life. You are loved and you are sought after this morning. The third lesson I want you to think about this morning is look at the nature of the recovery. Now this one primarily focuses on the lost son. But kind of look what happens in this story. The son pretty much tells his father where to go, right? And says, I'm out of here. I'm sick of this way, how we're living and so on. I want my money and I'm going to hit the road and I'm going to live how I want to. In this story, you might think that the father doesn't care. Why doesn't he go after the son? Why does he allow him to have his inheritance and give him all those things? Why doesn't he just keep it and just say, son, you know what? That's a bad decision. You're not going anywhere. But he doesn't. He allows him to go experience those things in the world. Just like you and I, we go do things that we shouldn't do. We call those sinful things in the eyes of God. And even if you're the best Christian, you still fall into sin and you get trapped and you do the things you shouldn't do in your life. Just like you and I. But what we need to understand in this story here is that God will always seek us out. Always. In our lives. Now you can choose to turn your back on God. And Scripture talks about that. That is the unforgivable sin when you reject Jesus Christ in your life. Everything else is forgivable. God is the one who does the pursuing. You might think you have a human side to your salvation, where you get to do the work and you get to decide what goes on in your life, but you need to realize that this all comes from God that created the Father. Be thankful for that. That you sit here today and that you have salvation in Jesus Christ, because it comes from him alone. When you and I say that a sinner has been brought to their senses, And you know what I'm talking about. We know people that have turned a corner in their life and they've got things figured out and they're back on the right track or whatever it looks like in their life and their spiritual walk. What we're really seeing is that God sought him or her out and brought about a spiritual resurrection in their life, some kind of a renewal that the light bulb came on and they figured things out. Now, there are a lot of people in this world that the light bulb has never come on. You see that in the world we live in today. They don't get it. They are blinded to the things of God and the ways of God because they live without the Holy Spirit in their lives. They're just like they're covered with scales over their eyes because they cannot see what you and I can see or understand from Scripture and the ways of God in this world. But you can sure pray for them. In this story of the Son, you will see steps away from the Father, and you will see steps back to the Father. That holds true for every one of us as well. We'll take steps away from the Father, and I hope that you take steps back to the Father in your life. And let me just point out a few of those things that will help us understand what these steps might look like, because the Scripture does a great job of laying that out for us this morning. And so maybe you're in a place where you've never accepted Christ. Maybe you're in a place where, you know, you're a believer, I'm close to God, but I'm caught in some kind of a sin that I can't seem to get rid of. It's got a hold on me. It's got a grip that's on my life or my family, and it could be whatever you want it to be. Alcoholism, pornography, maybe you're addicted way too much to technology and it's drawing all your time and sucking up everything in your life. Whatever that might be, you need to be freed from that. When we step away from our faith in God, there's always a path back to the Father. Every time. Every time. Here's what those steps look like. Number one, an awakening to our sinful condition happens. If you have your Bible open, go to Luke 15, verse 17. You'll notice in there that the son who's out feeding the pigs, and I can read this verse to you as well, when he comes to his senses, right, that'd be the work of the Holy Spirit in somebody's life when they're awakened spiritually. He said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death." He realizes that what he's done and what he's doing is crazy. How many of you ever done that in your own life when you've done something or you've done doing something that is just crazy? And all of a sudden the light bulb comes on. I thought, man, that was just stupid of me. Why do I do those things? How do I get away from this? And so that's the first point of stepping away from your sin or seeing something you're doing in your life is when the Spirit awakens you and you realize that you're doing something wrong in your life. See, this young boy, this son, seen that. He recognized that. There's one thing you also need to realize. You might have to sink all the way to the bottom of the pit to get that. And the bottom of the pit is no fun place to be. And you might lose everything to get to the bottom of the pit. Your family, your children, your house, your money, whatever it might be, to get to the bottom of the pit before Jesus might decide to turn on the light for you. Or maybe you're just being resistant and you don't want to see the light, which is also very true. Second, you have to be honest with yourself. You need to confess your sin to God. You don't need to hide it because he already knows you're in the midst of it. He understands. He sees it. He knows. And so what he wants is he wants you to be honest with yourself and realize that you have a need for Jesus Christ. Notice what the son says in Luke 15, verse 18, the second half of that verse. He says, "I've sinned against heaven and against you." He admits it. He knows he's done something wrong. You and I need to do that in our lives too when we've done something wrong. We need to ask for that forgiveness. Repentance. I always teach that to my Sunday school class. You need to repent. That means that you turn from it and you run the other way and you don't do it again. So many people don't want to repent. They want to ask for forgiveness, but they want to keep doing it. See, and that doesn't cut it in God's eyes. See, and the son figured it out. I've sinned. I need to change something. And then here's the third point on the bottom. You have to return to the Father in your life. That's God the Father. And so he did that in the first part of Luke 15, verse 18. I will set out and go back to my Father. Now, in the scripture, it talks about his earthly father, and he's going back to their home. But it's a story of us returning back to God, to the Father in heaven, that we need to understand. We recognize our sin, we ask for that forgiveness, and we return to God. How do you and I return to God in our daily lives? What does that look like? When you want to get closer to God because you know that you're far apart, our sin has separated you, and you need to ask for that forgiveness, you pray. You get down on your hands and your knees, and you pray to God, forgive me for what I've done. And you ask for that forgiveness, that repentance. You just continue to ask for the washing of that Holy Spirit, which something that I do every day is pray for that Spirit to work in your life, to guide you, to direct you. Do that. Be in Scripture. Read the Bible. You need to do that. That's how you return to the Father. That's the nature of this recovery. Now let's talk about the older son. It's quite interesting, this person is. Most of us, you and I, will sympathize with the older son because he stayed home, he listened to the father, he worked hard, he didn't squander any money away. How many of you would associate with the older son or with the prodigal son who took off and squandered all his money? Which one would you like to be? I'm setting you up here, by the way. See, a lot of us think we're the older son. We listen to God the Father. We come to church. We try to be obedient. We try to follow the Ten Commandments, da-da-da-da, in our lives. But let me tell you something. You're not the older son. Most of us are probably the prodigal son that have been rebellious and we've been called back by God. And here's the thing. Then we come into church where we grow our faith, and then we become like the older son sometimes. And you do not want to be like the older son. But many who are in church fall into that habit. And who do you think the older son is in this parable when Jesus is talking to them? He's talking to the Pharisees. He says, Pharisees, you need to know that you are the older son in this story. So how do I know if I've become the older brother? Let me point out a few things for you to think about this morning. Notice in this story, if you go home and you read this a few more times, he first loved property more than people, didn't he? He was torqued off because they killed the fat steer. Why does he get that? You wouldn't even give me a goat, he says to his dad. See, he loved property more than people. And then you wonder, well, how else do you know that? Look how he responded to his father when his brother returned. He goes up to his father and he goes, this son of yours. He didn't say my brother. This son of yours squandered all your money on prostitutes, is what he says. And if you read on through the scripture, you'll notice also that he had an inflated estimate of his own worth. He thought he was better than his brother or sister or everyone else, because he'd follow what he thought were the right rules, and he thought he's obedient, and he didn't disobey, and he thought he had it all figured out. You know, he was the good one in the family, he thought. There are those who trust in themselves and think that they are righteous, and they treat others with contempt. See, we have to be careful when we're church-going people. we can fall into that habit where we think that we're just a little bit better than the person out there that maybe doesn't even know who Jesus is. And in the moment you start thinking like that, you need to realize that you've just fallen into a sin because you think that your good work and your good deeds outweigh everything else that God has done in your life. And that's a mistake. Remember what I told you earlier in this message? Your salvation comes from whom alone? God. We're not any better than anybody else. Remember that in your eyes as a Christian. The Pharisees, they thought they were way better than everybody else. They knew all the rules. They had it all figured out. They knew what the Bible said. They had most of it memorized in the Torah. See, you and I, we don't want to be like that. Do not be the bigger brother. And often church people can fall into that role where we become judgmental and we try to tell people, this is how it should be. I've got it figured out is what we think. We're far from that. From the work of Christ, we do have it figured out. From the Holy Spirit living in us and following that, that's when we figure it out on how we should live and be. But we have to be so, so careful in our lives. So how many of you still want to be the big brother? See, none of us do. We're all the prodigal son and a child of God. Let me also share with you some good news. When a sinner comes to a place in their life where they repent and they decide they want to give their life to Christ, the Bible speaks that there's great rejoicing. The angels of heaven celebrate when a soul has been recovered from sin. I don't know what that looks like, but I can only imagine that there are thousands of angels that are singing great, great things and hymns, whatever it might be, that they're rejoicing and there's a celebration in heaven. And that's got to be just awesome. It's got to just be magnificent. I think that if you and I were in the presence of that, that you would not be able to stand. You would be overcome with emotion and you would fall flat on your face. I truly believe that because it would be so awesome and so mighty. But heaven celebrates when a sinner comes home. I think it also shows you the value of you and I as children of God. Of what God has done for you and I, not only through the death of Jesus on the cross, but also the rejoicing and the celebration that goes on in heaven for somebody that's returned, the lost sheep in their life. You know, people, there are still a lot of prodigals that live in this world yet today. Your prayer makes a difference. Maybe you have prodigals that live in your own families. Keep praying for those people. Don't quit. Don't give up on them. God is still at work. Keep praying for the Holy Spirit to bring them to a place. And this is, this is often what I tell people. You know, a lot of people say, oh, pray to be saved. Pray for them to be saved. I get that. But you know what you really need to pray for? Is you want to pray for that God will reveal their sin to them. That they see a need, that they need Jesus Christ. Pray that God will reveal their sin. That's what happened to this prodigal son. He's out there one day feeding the hogs and he realized how bad things were and he needed to make some changes. Yeah, that's what you need to pray for. Pray for God to reveal the sin. That's where it starts. God will do the rest. Let me finish the story about my wallet. So after I got off the phone with the gal at the Fargo Dome, I get a phone call from a guy. He's at the basketball game. He finds my wallet. He goes through it, and he finds my name and my license and my address, and he looks up my phone number, and he calls me. He says, hey, by the way, I found your wallet. And I said, you're kidding me. He said, no, I got it right here. And I said, is my debit card there? Is my credit card there? Is my cash? He said, yep. He pulls it all out and named it all off to me. He says, it's all right here. And I was just rejoicing that I found it. And so he brought it to the head office of the Fargo Dome and gave it to this lady. And the lady called me back. And she says, by the way, your wallet's been turned in. I says, yep, I know. I talked to the guy. And I said, you know, there's cash in there. if you guys want cash to mail it back to me and you want cash for finding it, you can have it. There was like $100 in there. I said, I'll give it to you. And he says, nope, that's not how we function. That's not how we operate. And the Fargo Dome has an account for postage to send lost things back to people. And they sent it to me in the mail, and I got it on Tuesday in my mailbox right here in Inwood. And it came back. See, there are a lot of good people in the world yet. Remember that. God is still at work. And so I want you to remember that. I want you to be encouraged today. Rejoice when God finds a sinner. Celebrate. And all of God's people said,